Hello everyone, how are you all doing? Are you doing good? I was going to say a happy Saturday evening, but we're all the time zones and kind of going, what's the point lately? Like, because it's Sunday in Australia, it's Saturday morning in America, it's I don't know about fucking time in the moon. So it's just like happy Saturday and Sunday and Friday as well, I suppose. Those time zones are all over the place. It's been really, really cold here today. It's my kind of weather, cold and rainy. I really love it. I don't know if you can hear the music playing in the background there. It's a royalty-free album. It's Fractal Forest. I just found it there and put it on so I won't be zapped by the YouTube overlords, I'm gonna try to slow my speaking down, in my speech down, a good bit this time because sometimes I do tend to talk a bit too fast and people are kind of like, what the hell is he on? So as I said, I love the rain because the rain gives me a lot of freedom, Freedom from noise and stuff like that. So it's the best weather for me. It's the summers when the nightmare starts happening. It's just too bright and there's too much going on and all that kind of stuff. I was a little ill actually on Thursday, but I got over it fast enough. It was like a stomach bug or something. So I just actually just slept through it. I just went to bed and said like, give up. Give in. It wasn't anything too bad. I think like I actually do think that since eating vegetarian or vegan foods that when you do get stomach bugs they're not as bad for some reason. I don't know why, but they're never really terrible, but it just kind of zapped me a bit, all right. So I stepped through it and I kind of woke up this morning and I was in way better form, about like 70 80%, so ready to rock and ready to roll. So I hope you're all in good form anyway. It's been a long time since I spoke to you last, hasn't it? I've missed you all so much. Anyway, I want to start off by saying to the girls and to all of you, to everyone involved and that supported in any way at all, thanks very much for adopting the penguins for our sweets. I know that she spent most of the other day crying because it was such a thoughtful and amazing thing to do for her, and sweets loves like penguins and cat videos and all that kind of stuff, she uses them to cheer her up. So, like, to have her own little cuties is the best for her, and Sweets does a lot of work behind the scenes, a lot. I mean, I can't tell you how much, and it's work that I just can't do, I just don't have the time, and I don't have the people skills either, I really don't. Like, I mean, it's not my wheelhouse. I just don't have to be dealing with some things that happen. I just can't, I'll say the wrong thing or I'll do the wrong thing and you know the way it goes. So another thing, like, is one thing is that I'm not really an online person, I'm not really a person that's online a lot, I'll keep up with like what stuff what's going on in the world and I'll check into Twitter and I'll check some big Twitter channels and watch some news and stuff like that so I can get some material or whatever. Or just to keep in touch because if you lose touch, you're lost altogether. So there are times when I just put my phone into a different room and I'd forget about it. I just don't want to pick it up. It just I don't know. I've been like that for a long time actually. I think I got burnt out, especially around the first time Facebook came out. I was using it so much, and I just kind of said to myself one day, what the hell am I doing with this thing? And that's why it can be kind of slow to respond, and I miss a lot as well, Now, I saw some comment last week, someone saying that I don't talk to everyone on Twitter, but when I open up Twitter Live, like, that 99 notification thing, I'll hit that, and then 11 out of 99, and then 99, and I'm like, holy God, like, you know, it's impossible to keep up with what's going on. And you kind of see people at the top, you know, that are kind of, that'll stick out, and you're kind of responding, and you're trying to go out through them, and there's more people talking, and it's like, it's a mess. Like, it is, it's very, very difficult to navigate through, and as I said, I'm not the best of it, and at the best, especially as well when you're, you know, you're running your own account, and you're helping Shawnee not to get kicked off Twitter, speaking of Shawnees. So, Sweets answers a lot of questions to help me out, because it's just too much for me, you know. Like when the ideas come in, like, I mean, I think, like, there could be like 350 emails come in for ideas. It's just impossible to reply to those, you know. It's just impossible. So, you know, I get forwarded on some of the best of the ideas and that, and it's a very good thing for me, because I just wouldn't be able to, I wouldn't have the time to get through them. So, but I'm really grateful for the ideas as well at the same time, because you know, I'm always looking out for a little, and I'm the type as well, you know, like, if you write ideas for me, it's like, you know, a couple of lines here and there. I don't really need like big long what do you call it, paragraphs or whatever. Just like 5 or 6 lines is enough to trigger my mind, you know. That's, I prefer that, actually. Gives me more freedom and more flexibility to make something out of it, you know. So you know, I met Sweets just as I was about to end my voice acting career. It was the first time I lost my YouTube channel when it was deleted, and I actually really threw in the towel. I was like, you know, I was like, oh God, what's the point in this, you know, because it was after putting so much energy into it, you know. And I mean, when I look back now, I was using a phone, and and the recordings were very bad, but I was still putting a lot of energy into it. I was still getting a kick out of it, and I was, you know, watching numbers go up, and I was like, you know, the channel was growing, and then that whatever happened, and it was actually Sweets that convinced me to stay, to actually keep doing what I was doing, and to actually help me out with, you know, because she had saved a lot of the audios that I just lost, because I'm the type of person that would not save anything, you know. Now I do, you know, I learned a lesson, like, I save most of the stuff that I have. I think I have lost a couple of audios along the way, but, you know, I have most of the stuff anyway. So she convinced me to keep going. And I am the type of person as well to drop things very quickly, you know. I pick something up, and I'll do it for a while, and then I'll you know, I'll move on to something else. I just have that kind of personality, you know what I mean. It's just like, it's hard to explain, and I'm blessed as well with a lot of rashness. Even though I'm getting a lot better, and it was that kind of thing that she helped me with, was kind of stabilizing me and telling me to relax and don't be as rash, you know, because I'll just see something, I'll just do it, or I'll just, you know, I'll think of something I want to do, and I just want to manifest it on the spot and all that. But as I said, I've got a lot better, and I've a lot of you to thank for that as well, because I mean, you did chill me out to the last, you know, at the start. It was just very overwhelming, you know, when I started off doing things. I was like, you know, what's going on? I just couldn't figure out, you know, how to deal with what was going on, you know, with the especially as I spoke about a lot of things, but the way, like, Patreon turned into a community, I was like, what the hell? I just thought it was going to be a place where it was like Little Vodka, you know, and I just put up an audio and that would be it, like, you know, respond to some emails and put up another audio the next week, but it just turned into something completely different, and I was like, whoa, I was blown away. So I couldn't ask for more from me, actually, like, because you've been so supportive, you know, through the years. I really couldn't have asked for more. And it is a kind of a risky biscuit. risky biscuit It is a kind of a risky business that I'm in, you know? Like, you have to, if you are keeping up with this kind of world, like, you have to realize that it can change at any time, you know? Stuff can get whipped out from underneath your feet without you even knowing it. Like, the last YouTube thing that happened, like, I believe it was an attack, you know. I believe it was some kind of like coordinated attack. I don't know by who or what, but it was like I was watching it happening, and it was like relentlessly like getting reported, you know. And there was stuff getting reported that was like so innocent, you know. So I was lucky in the end that YouTube just made a mistake of taking down two joke audios that sounded like that they were dirty, but they were actually just funny. So as if to argue the point that, like, if you take down my comedic stuff, you'd have to go after everybody else's comedic stuff. And when I was talking to the support at the time, they were telling me, "Oh, relax, it's okay, everything's gonna be fine, everything's gonna work out." But like, I just knew, like, they didn't really care about, you know, it's this 50,000 sub channel is nothing on YouTube, you know. It's really, really small, you know. Might sound big to some people, but it's not YouTube. They don't care. I mean, they've been zapping channels like that have 250,000 subscribers, 500,000. They don't care about anything but money. So yeah, you know what I mean? So I mean, but you know, man, I fought tooth and nail for it back. I really did. But it almost destroyed the channel, and it's still nowhere near where it was. I mean, it was on about 1.5 million views when it went down, and it's probably on about like coming up to 500,000 now. Now we're working on it, and we'll get there. It'll come back again. It'll just take a little more time. And I think, like, it's, you know, it's fluctuating, it's gone up and down, but a lot of that's to do with the content as well, you know. I could start putting up a lot of risky content again, and, like, you know, start manipulating the algorithms again. But then you're dealing with, you know, people reporting again, and you're fucked, you know. You're in the same position. So yeah, so I mean, the stuff you can find on YouTube is crazy. Like, there are people stealing my audios, right? And they're putting them on their channels. And I'm reporting them, and YouTube are refusing to take them down. So they're refusing to take down the same audios, right? That they gave me strikes from for on my channels, that, and won't take them down from their channels. And the Jungkook stuff as well, as that's actually hilarious. Like, there's so many of them. They're taking my moans and taking clips of my audios and making music out of them, and I have to laugh my ass off that. Like, the girls in Korea are having fun with a man from Ireland who they think is Jungkook from Korea. It's hilarious, like, you know. But it is a lesson as well, because it tells you, like, that you never know who you're talking to, you know. So always be careful. Like that creepy dude from a few weeks ago, remember? He was asking me how to play the girls, and I'm like, dude, like, you know, that's not my thing at all, you know. This is an art form for me. Like, I take this very seriously. I don't take it as like a dating game at all, which a lot of people, I know a lot of people do. There are a lot of genuine dudes and a lot of genuine girls, but there are a lot of people that kind of find that it's like a dating game. It's a way to find a partner. I actually recently heard about someone finding a partner, and they give up their channel, you know. So it can be like that. But if I was looking for girls, my whole career would collapse, you know, and it would be ruined. And you just can't do that if you want to take this seriously. And you know, it's just, you, like, what I always say as well, like, if a guy asks you for anything on the internet, you know, anything at all, you should never, ever, ever hand a guy anything, especially when they ask, unless you're 100% sure you know who it is. And you're going to be safe, and you know what's going on, because I hear stories on this side all the time, you know. And I've heard stories through the years. It's just like it's so dodgy, you know. It's like, it's been done to me a few times. I've been what do you call it, catfished. Well, they tried to, like, but it didn't work because I just have no interest. So I've seen it a few times, like they'd catfish, like they'd send me a picture of a woman or something, but the guy would forget to he forget to take out his name at the heading of the email, which is hilarious. And you're like, yeah, right. So just reply back, but yeah, hello, how is it? How are you? Bye, thanks. And in this climate as well, guys, like it's, people like that are taking massive risks. It's just so insane, like to do things like that these days. It's like there's some like stuff going on lately around the world, like that's just so. I don't know, and it actually happens as well. Do you know where it happens an awful lot as well, in the spiritual world. If you get kind of into the spiritual world, you'll see a lot of teachers sleeping with their students and stuff like that, and causing all kinds of problems in their communities. And because, like, in the end, we're all human. So you could be a spiritual teacher and have all this kind of like, I am enlightened, and I'm yeah, but you still have a pair of balls, and you've got temptations, and there's no one like immune to temptation, like so yeah. But in the end, like, it's just like in the end, it's a guy with a mic who's creating fantasies for you to enjoy, right? And there are no girls or guys that can live up to the characters that they can create, like there's just not, like, it's like even when I do slight face reveals, I get tons of mails telling me that they're spoiling, that I'm spoiling the fantasy. And for the girls, and there's girls and guys there that just want Gail to look like what they want him to look like. They don't want to see me, and I'm telling you that I've got so many mails. It's like, oh, don't show this, don't show that, I don't want to know the color of your eyes. Don't, and it's, I can understand it. I can really understand it, because like when I was, and not so much now, but when I was a big fan of Veronica, I didn't want to know who the person was. I didn't want to know anything about them. I didn't want to know where they lived. I didn't want to know their first name. I wasn't curious about them. I just listened along and went, fuck, this is like different. Because, we had, at the time, I suppose porn was king, and then when this thing came in, it was like, what the fuck? It was a completely different experience altogether. It was more, you felt it in your body more, felt more real, and all that kind of jazz. So, yeah, but like everybody has their own type, and you can't be. You can't satisfy everyone either, like. And then there's the creepy side as well, lads. I mean, I can't tell you half the stuff that goes on, but there's some really creepy shit goes on with me, and like, I always say that I'm not paid enough to be hunted down or stalked. I don't have security, you know what I mean? I don't, like, I haven't got anyone protecting me at all, you know what I mean? So the only way that I'm okay is that I'm a moving target. I'm kind of never in the one place for long, and I'm moving around all the time, so I'm fairly okay-ish. And I think, but when I go to places, then, like, bigger towns like Killarney and Blarney and stuff like that, I'll actually be paranoid about my voice. I'll hear some English girls or some American girls passing, and I'm like, oh God, where are you going? I'm going into a shop or something, and it's like, change your voice completely.
Can I have a bottle of that milk there, please? That almond milk in there.
Probably think I'm from Berlin, though. So anyway, enough of that. I know what kind of a ramble that was. It was kind of a low blood sugar ramble, I think, because I didn't eat much in the last couple of days. But anyway, so enough of that kind of crap. What we're going to do now is we're going to move on to penguins, okay? Because I think this is a kind of a penguiny podcast. A penguiny podcast? No. So, We're going to talk about the types of penguins and about what, you know, about the... I didn't really know much about penguins till I started reading about them. And actually, they're quite fascinating, really. Like, so there are 18 species of penguin, okay? There's the king penguin. I'm going to get a lot of these wrong now. The emperor penguin. The Adelie penguin. The chinstrap penguin. The gentoo penguin. The little penguin. The mangelenic penguin. I definitely mangle that one. The Humboldt penguin, the Galapagos penguin, the African penguin, the yellow-eyed penguin. Yellow-eyed penguin? Is that the hepatitis penguin? The Fordland penguin, the snares penguin, the erect-crested penguin. That's a proud penguin, really, like erect-crested. There's the southern rockhopper penguin. And of course, there's the northern rockhopper penguin, hopping rocks. And there's the royal penguin. And there's the macaroni penguin. That sounds like a kind of a dish, doesn't it? Hey, can I have the macaroni penguin? God, sounds disgusting as well. We forgot about that. I said that there was 18 different species of penguins. I'm wrong. There's the sweets penguin. So there are 19 penguins. We'll have to change that in Wikipedia, lads. We'll have to get in and change it. So everyone imagines that, like, penguins live in, ice in Antarctica and, are just, like, chilling out on icebergs and stuff like that, you know, like with cocktails and but there are penguins in like South Africa, Chile, Peru, Galapagos, New Zealand, Australia, and a number of Antarctic islands. Getting very bad with that word today. But penguins are nearly always exclusive to the southern hemisphere, but in the Galapagos, they live right on the equator. And there are a few penguins living in the northern hemisphere as well, and on Patreon. So the waddling little fuckers are everywhere. How were penguins given their name? The penguin was originally given its name because of an unrelated bird species that is now extinct. It's called the Great Auk. Is A-U-K, I hope I'm pronouncing that right. And it was a large, flightless bird, black and white bird. When the explorers first encountered the wild penguins, they just, I don't know, just called them penguins for some reason, I don't know. But imagine being like a bird that can't fly, like, you know. You know, you're looking around, like, and you're looking at all the other birds, like, and you're like, what the fuck is flapping and flapping, and I said I'm flapping, okay, and anyway, it's like, and you're getting nowhere, you're like off the floor running, you're like, what the fuck are these things for? It must be very odd in them. You have to feel sorry for them, like. Oh god. And there's questions then about as well, like, are penguins birds? And lots of people, you know, think that penguins are mammals rather than birds because they can't fly. But when we see them swimming underwater or, you know, waddling on land, like, but there are the birds that can't fly as well. When you think about it, there's the ostrich, but then, like, an ostrich can run, like, do you ever see an ostrich running? Like, go on YouTube and look at them running, they're fucking fast. And the penguins, they fulfill all biological requirements to be classified as birds. They have feathers, they lay eggs, they're warm-blooded, and they're just seabirds that are very well adapted to unusual lives, which is where they're so different to other birds, you know. They're, you know, I suppose, natural selection and all that kind of jazz. Mr. Darwin. The penguins also have knees, but you can't see them because they're, like, covered in, like it's so many fluffy little feathers, you know. So they don't even have short legs either. They've kind of big legs. So the reason why they waddle then is apparently it's just the way their legs evolved to help them swim more efficiently. So when they get out of the water, they're kind of like, you know, they're kind of like moving from side to side, kind of like probably before to be in the water, you know. So that's where they waddle. But like they're fast, like at swimming. I mean, I saw some at an aquarium. I think it was an where was I? Oh God, I can't remember where I was. There's an aquarium there. Anyway, something the west summer, and I was looking at them swimming, and I was like, holy shit, like these things are fast, like. But apparently it's 25 miles an hour that they swim at. Like, that is unbelievable. I mean, I think the top Olympian athletes swim at 7. So, like, like you put one of these things into an Olympic race and they're getting the fucking gold medal, like, steroid free. Oh, God. And you may wonder as well, you know, how they stay warm, you know, how the hell do they stay warm? But they are actually able to manipulate their blood, and they actually have 100 feathers per square inch. So those motherfuckers are wearing duffel coats, like, you know, micro duffel coats. And the male penguin, right, what male penguin does when the female penguin is out getting her nails done or, you know, doing a bit of shopping or whatever, he actually stands on the eggs with his feet to keep the eggs warm, to incubate the eggs, which is really cool. That's his job. He's a stay-at-home, stand-on-the-egg father. Oh, God. And yeah, as I said, like when they get too cold, they can change the temperature of their body, which is like, it's so amazing what these creatures can do. You know, we think that we're intelligent because we think and we can do this and that, but they can actually do things that, like, there's not. Well, I know there's a few people that can do it. I know that guy Winchuff. Is that his name, Winchuff? If you look him up on YouTube, he has a breeding method. And he can change his body temperature as well. But it's rare. It's not something that we can kind of, you know, unless we put blankets on and turn up the heating and stuff like that. So so that's how intelligent they are. The biggest or tallest guy is the emperor penguin. And it stands at 1.2 meters high, which is probably about 3.5 feet for you American people. And the little penguin, the little fella I mentioned earlier, is only 0.3 of a meter. So he's a tiny little thing. And some of them, right, can dive. They've been recorded dive down 500 meters. Like, that is just amazingly deep, like, you know. And there are gay penguins, right? There are gay penguins. And I think when they were found first, it was kept quiet, you know, like the early explorers didn't want to get out, like, you know, I can't have gay penguins, like, but now, like, at zoos and stuff like that, where they keep them or wherever they keep them, they actually, like, partner up and they actually raise adopted chicks. Isn't that amazing? Can you hear me, Mike Pence? Mike fucking Pence, can you fucking hear me? Oh, God. And they'll snack on poor Mike Pence. They'll snack on squid and other fish, and they are hunted by leopard seals. Mean big leopard seals. Boo to leopard seals. But I bet you there's something hunting them too, so fuck them. And how they adapted to seawater is by eating tons of seafood, and they sneeze out the excess salt. So it's like, they'll sneeze like that, and the salt they need is gone. They'll also molt, which is like, you know, they'll lose all their feathers, they'll shed. But what they have to do then is they have to, like, they have to eat a lot of fat, you know, so that they keep them warm during the process. Do you ever Google birds without feathers? Jesus Christ, try sometime. I mean, I went down that rabbit hole a few times, like, and they look like Shawnee. You have to get out of bed first thing in the morning. They're just like, it's like, ah, what the hell is that? It's like they're alien creatures. It's really crazy when you see them without feathers. And finally, their nearest cousins are albatross and divers. So I think like wasn't the albatross an omen for the old sailors when they'd see the albatross? It was like, oh fuck, we're all cheesed, we're all gonna drown. But do you know what I always wondered about penguins, like especially the black and white versions? Like it's like, you know, you're kind of, you know, you're up there on the iceberg or whatever, like, and you're chilling, like, and you spot this penguin, like, and you're saying, she looks nice, like, she's looking back at you, giving you the eye. But how the fuck, like, they all look the same. You know what I mean? I mean, they all look, they definitely do all look the same, like, they're all about the same height. They all waddle the same way. There's no muscles, none of them have six packs. I mean, none of them can sing or do anything different. There's nothing to make them stand out. You know, they're not like peacocks or anything like that. They're just kind of fucking waddling around. So is it just a case of like, I don't know, just go over there and say like, come on, it's me and you, girl, and that's it. Or it's me and you, boy, and that's it. And we'll adopt a Mike Pence penguin. Oh, God. So that's enough about penguins. But we have to dedicate some penguin arenas to Sweets. So thanks, Sweets, for everything that you do. And I hope you got a little giggle out of that. No, I want to talk about, before I go, I want to talk about, I was up in Dublin, can't remember when. I've been in Dublin a few times in the last year, but I can't remember when it was anyway. And there's a story of this guy. He was called Bang Bang, and he was born in 1906, and it was the same year that his hero John Wayne was born. So he would, you know, descended on buses and stuff like that in Dublin, and he had this big large brass church door key, you know, and he called it his coal 45. So he'd actually go around to people, like, and he'd walk up to you and he'd go bang 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 bang, and then you go, oh, I'm dead. So he'd actually walk onto the bus and he'd shoot people, bang, 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 and everyone were fain being shot, you know, and it was like, he was just a hilarious character, you know, and people loved him because he was so childlike as well, you know. I think like he had a very, very tragic life, and it's kind of like, you know, made him kind of stunt and grow up, I suppose, in his mind. So that was just his thing, like, that he was a cowboy, and that he was John Wayne's, he was John Wayne's twin, I suppose, or John Wayne was his hero. So yeah, he had that key, and he just like, bang, 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 bang. And he was actually, I think, like a lot of famous people started to get to know him, you know. Does Brendan Behan, the Irish poet and playwright, there was Brian Gleeson, a lot of them got to know him. And I think when he died, there was no one turned up to the funeral, which was really strange because there were so many people. So many people knew him and all that. But then I think there was, years later, there was a kind of, I think it was when they were kind of honouring him, there was like thousands of people turning up to the funeral. And so something probably happened there, and then I don't know what happened. Maybe people just didn't know about it or whatever, or probably thought it was a rumour. I actually know someone that died as well in Cork a few years ago, and there's still rumours that he's still alive. It's fucking very strange. Like, it took months and months and months for this character. He's a street character. And, like, I still don't know, you know. I still don't know for certain. I've been told, but the only way I know is that I haven't seen him around. But he could have, like, moved on somewhere. You wouldn't know, you know. So, but anyway, he was honoured in the end. And there was a plaque for him, and it was unveiled by the Lord Mayor and all that kind of jazz. And There's a cool in Frisborough in Dublin, if you're ever in Dublin, there's a restaurant and it's dedicated to him and it's called Bang Bang. And you go into the restaurant and it's actually like, it's really cool because it's what would they call it? Ordinary food, vegetarian food and vegan food. So it serves three forms of food and you could have anything you want in there. But when you go in there, then there's pictures of if they do it all over the place, you know. And you can actually Google him there in a minute now. You'll see him, he's really kind of like disheveled kind of looking, you know, like with a big smile on his face. And apparently someone of his relatives, actually when he died, they managed to get the key and they brought the key into the cafe, and the key is actually hanging in the cafe. And it's up in a plaque, you know, so you can see the key and all that. But when you go in to eat, you just sit down and you've no table. So the food is just brought to you. You're sitting on a chair and the food is brought to you in a kind of like a tray. And you just sit there. Shit, cool place. Like, and it's cool. They play brilliant music. And I know they play like all classic rock. And, you know, it's like, you know, just the best of music and stuff like that. So you're sitting there and you have your tray of whatever kind of food you like and it's on your lap and you're eating away, and it's just a really cool experience. And you can walk around and you can read about them and everything. Now I'm going to talk about these places a little bit more as well. I get asked an awful lot, like, you know, I get asked like, where can I see this, where can I see that, and I forget as well, you know, to kind of I forget to remember where I've been. I forget to kind of you know, to make an audio and talk about places where you can see and all that. But that's one of the places anyway I would recommend to go if you're up in Dublin and if you can get parking at all, because, like, lads, when you get to Dublin, like, this Irish, as I said before, this Irish a dream that you have is going to be kind of twisted upside down a little bit, because what you're going into, like, is like a mini London or a mini New York. You know, it's just chaotic. It's just like on rush hour traffic. Forget about it. Like, you're going to be in the car, like, you're better off walking, you know. So if you get to Frisborough, go to the cafe and just have a bit of food there and enjoy the what do they call it, the legacy of Bang Bang and his key. Bang Bang. One other thing about that Bang Bang used to shake people's hands, and when he'd walk up and he'd see in the street and he'd shake your hand, he would say, "Oh, somebody else likes me. She got in love him," and he'd just walk away then again, you know. He was such a childish or childlike person, like, you know. So he'd come up and he'd pull out his hand and you're like, you shake it, and he's like, somebody else likes me. So he thought he was like, you know, this kind of famous movie actor and that, like, you know. But, yeah, so, as I said, I'll do a lot more of that kind of stuff and tell you where to go, because I know a lot of you like are flying in and out of places and you'd like to see a little place like that. And if you're like, you might want to go there specifically, but if you find out you're near Frisborough or something, you'll say, "Oh, shoo, I remember this story about," and then you could ask somebody and they'll bring you there. And it's hilarious. What was very funny as well is that we were parking there, it was myself and my dad, you know, and we were looking for parking, and it's very, like, Dublin is just little, like, so we were looking for a parking space, and we saw two cops, and we were like, they were like, what's wrong, and we said, well, we're looking for a parking space, but, you know, what's the story with tickets and stuff like that, and do we need to, and they said, so that's Bang Bang's cafe, park outside there, there's no problem, there's no one going to go near you outside there. And we were like, oh yeah, cool. So we got out of the car and we walked into the thing, and my dad is very nervous. Like, he was like, I don't trust him, no, Roll, I don't trust him. And he was like, I'll be grand. So we went in anyway, and we sat down and we were, you know, looking at the menus and stuff like that. And next thing, just as we're about to order, we just heard from behind us, "Don't serve those two fuckers at all. They never paid for the parking." It was the guards, and it had the cops, and the whole restaurant turned around. Ah! It's really quirky and it's really funny place to be. So yeah. Okay, so guys, I'm gonna love you and leave you, and I should have some audios up soon. I'm still working on one that I'm really excited about. I want to get it right, so I'm going to take my time with that one. But in the meantime, I'm going to be doing some more uploads and stuff. So yeah, another thing I want to talk about as well is that, you know, I'm kind of changing my YouTube. You see, what I'm noticing on YouTube is that, like, ASMR sounds and stuff do a lot better than, like, I can put a lot of work into, you know, storylines and, you know, like, a lot of dialogue and stuff, and this, like, they're not getting any hits, you know what I mean? So sometimes, like, I kind of have to mix it up with ASMR, just sounds and trying to make people tingle, I suppose, for all the world. I make you tingle, baby. I make you tingle. So, like, there's kind of a couple of different things that I'm doing there, like, so, like, the last one that I put up on Patreon there last week, I like, that's specific to YouTube, to, you know, like, you upload, like, I use timers, and I probably might upload at 3 o'clock in the morning on Sunday night for extra kick, you know. So, like, you'll see that happening, and I'll go back to storylines then again, and that I have a kind of an edit, I have a storyline now ready again for YouTube for probably Wednesday, I'd say. That I probably might do an erotic version and YouTube version as well. So when you see me doing that, anyway, just know that I'm kind of changing things up. I'm kind of, like, with YouTube, you have to play with the thing. Like, you have to, like, play with the algorithms. You have to try raise the you know, the view counts and stuff. It's just like at the moment, it's sticky. I can see that it's sticking, and it's not getting to where I want it. So I know that I have to make more of these ASMR whispery kind of videos. But the thing is, like, to make those audios, they kind of get the same all the time, you know. They kind of, it's kind of like, oh yeah, it's the same kind of thing, you know. You're whispering and you're changing ears, and you're, so it's kind of, they're kind of difficult. I think even in ASMR in general, like, even the videos that I see on YouTube, you know, it's like doctors, and I was watching one the other night, it was like, check for head lice. And I had about a million hits, and I was like, no, I know people might like the idea of, you know, fingers going through your hair, and but I can see why they're doing it, because you will get kind of boxed in, especially when you're doing visual, because, like, what can you do, you know? After a while, I always say to people when they're doing ASMRs, don't do any visual. If you're going to do it, like, stay away from it, because you can actually, there's so many things you can do if you don't have to act. I mean, how can you put yourself into a cowboy role with a horse, or how can you put yourself into a speeding car? Like, there's so much that you can't do when you do. No, I suppose you could do both. You could do, like, the visual, and you could mix it up with something else, like, but yeah, you know. But I just think it's better to but then you see, like, I suppose I'm not an ASMR artist at all, you know. I just dabble in it. Like, it's not my thing. Like, it's not the best thing that I like doing erotic ASMR. I mean, I like, really like doing that. I really like using the microphone for that, and I will continue to do that. But to do it, the ordinary ASMR itself, It's kind of, I know, and then I've been looked at as like being too sexual. And there's a lot worse, like, there's a lot worse. Look, I mean, just go through YouTube and look at it. Like, there's like ditties, there's breasts like being thrown into the front of the camera, and they're not even rated, like, you know, they're monetized and everything. And I can't even go, and I'm getting like whipped off the platform. So, yeah, it's a bit of a strange one. So I'm going to love you and leave you. And I know I'm kind of sniffing a bit there, but I just have a slight bit of sinusitis, which will be gone by tomorrow again. I just had a bit of a rough couple of days. Not too rough, but, you know, just a bit sick, sure, but it happens to everybody. But I wasn't, like, dying or anything like that, like, you know what I mean? So I'll catch you soon, and we'll talk soon and have a laugh. All right? I just wonder what's going to come on next. I better switch off before I get done for copyright. I'll talk to you all soon, okay? Bye-bye.